does allow pestilences and trials and problems and as I mentioned the other night, such as earthquakes and hailstorms and those kind of things to take place. Now, this is what happened in Egypt. And one of the problems with the children of Israel was that when they were in Egypt, many of them followed after idolatrous ways. So we need not be too surprised that that with 1,800 abortions today, and that gives us many, and I had a statistic here somewhere and I lost it, and I had a statistic that showed how many that would be in a week, how many that would be in the time that we've had this coronavirus. So we find a very interesting thing. We see the stubbornness of God's enemies. And secondly, I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, in the life of Moses during these plagues, the power of God over His enemies. The power of God over His enemies. And it's interesting here that what we find is that God does fight against other gods. This is what we're dealing with in this. And I had a quote here that I wanted to read, and I obviously didn't bring these things in. All right. Oh, there it is. I found it. Okay. Now, let me just say that what is going on here is that when you are looking at the plagues of Egypt, now there are 10 of them. And it's interesting to observe that some of the plagues were evidently directed against the Egyptian worship. In other words, what we're dealing with here is not so much Moses against Pharaoh, so much as what we're dealing with here in Exodus, God against false gods. And these false gods that were happening, you know, we get the idea there's 10 plagues. Now, let me just kind of go through these plagues with you. First of all, there's the plague, or prior to the first plague, there was this time when, if you look over to chapter 7 and verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. So, one of the things that we find here is sometimes there are things that are miraculous that are not of God. And we understand that one of the issues that was taking place here is that in Egypt they worship serpents. And what we find in chapter 7, verse 12, that Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And we find that this was an attack. God is showing, okay, you can do these miracles, but I'm stronger than you are. The first plague is the plague of blood. And we're told in chapter 7, verse 19, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take my rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses And Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. He lifted up his rod, smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. And, I always find it fascinating that the magicians, they would have been more helpful to have reversed that. But they imitated that. But the Nile, understanding the Egyptian river, the Nile River, it was the patron goddess of the Egyptians. The second plague in chapter 8, verse 1, and Lord spake unto Moses, unto Pharaoh, and verse 2, if thou refuse, God tells Moses, if they refuse to let them go, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into the bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and unto the house of thy servants, and upon the people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. I mean, there were frogs everywhere. And they came upon, verse 4, the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And in verse 7, the magicians did so with their enchantments. Again, they'd been more helpful to have gotten rid of the frogs, but they didn't. They were imitating the work that Moses and Aaron were doing. But this was the frogs, interestingly enough, one of the things that the Egyptians did, they had a worship of the scarab beetle, and the figure of that was a frog head. Thirdly, we see that there was this third plague, and this third plague had to do with lice. And verse 16 of chapter 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch out thine hand, smite the dust of the land, and it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. So again, what we find is that Moses and Aaron did what they were supposed to do, and it brought up lice. In verse 18, the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was only a limit of what God allowed them to do. And again, we keep seeing, if you were to follow this in verse 19, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The fourth plague had to do with flies. And the Lord, verse 20, said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Verse 25. And verse 21, and else if thou wilt not let my people go, I will send forth swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and on thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians. And verse 22, and I will sever in that land the land of Goshen. And this is interesting, this is the first time that the Israelites are not affected by these plagues. And there's reasons for that which we won't go into. But verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and said, go ye, sacrifice your God in your land. But notice the boldness of Moses. Verse 26, and Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptian for their eyes, and will they not stone us? And so he makes this demand. And here's Moses. Now, understand Moses is getting bolder and bolder as he goes. And this is true because whenever we see God answer prayers, we get more encouraged in our faith, don't we? When we see God doing something, we get better. Hopefully, we do. Now, this fourth plague of these flies, that was a symbol of Egyptian sun god Ra. All right? The fifth plague, we're told in verse 1 of chapter 9. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. If thou refuse to let them go, and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon the cattle. So they had this disease that was going to kill the cattle. Interestingly, the sacred animal of the Egyptian was the cattle. And interestingly enough, the ram, the great, the bull, those are things. If you remember when Aaron was told to create an image, he basically was imitating this bull worship item. So my point is this, was an object of worship. So God is showing that I am stronger than these gods of worship. If you look over to chapter 9, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes and furnaces, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven. And verse 9, it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and it shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon men. So now we have somewhat of a pestilence that is taking place. And so there's this this increase of boils. I don't know if you've ever had a boil. I had a boil on the back of my back once as a boy, and it was terrible. I was trying to sleep, and I couldn't. Especially when I'd lay on my back. I couldn't lay on my back. So there were these boils. Notice verse 13. The seventh plague was hail. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go. And he says in verse 14, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart. In verse 15, I will stretch out my hand that I might smite the people. Look at verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. This was the God of nature, and they worshiped the God of nature. And so God had to say, I'm even more powerful than nature. Verse 1 of chapter 10, the eighth plague. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. Verse 3, and Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself? And it's a fascinating thing. You see this in the book of Revelation as well. Because when the plagues and the turmoil and the earthquakes and these kind of things happen, instead of people becoming humbled, they become hardened. And verse 4, else thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into the coast. And they're going to cover, verse 5, the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the rest of that which is escaped, which remaineth among you from from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they'll fill the houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of thy Egyptians. And it's a fascinating thing. Do you realize what's going on over in the Middle East right now? The plague of locusts is straight out of horror movie, one article says. Millions of insects attack the Gulf region in the Middle East, darkening the skies. I was looking at some of these YouTube videos that they were pointing up, and it really is a fascinating thing to see these things. Here's a picture, and of course, you can't see this, I'm sure, but these locusts are everywhere. And as a matter of fact, of course, we tend to want to add these things to prophecy and so forth. One person was saying, though, it was interesting, that for Passover, it's not attacking Israel. Now, I don't know how true that is, but I do know that God can send these kind of things on the earth. And it makes you wonder, boy, where are we in the time of the Lord's coming? Now, we see the ninth plague in chapter 10, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. I've been in caves that have been so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of you, and it's kind of an eerie feeling. And God had allowed this darkness, this thick darkness, verse 22 at the end of that verse, that lasted 3 days. And this is when Pharaoh, verse 24, called Moses and basically start trying to make compromises. And Moses said, no, it's not going to work. Now, it's important that we understand that darkness was the sun god Ra, as we mentioned already. And the Egyptians were putting their trust in these things. And so... it's fascinating. And of course, the tenth plague has to do with the death of the firstborn. And we're told in chapter 11, verse 3, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Notice what's now happening. So the children of Israel were against Moses. Now the Egyptians are saying, wow, these Israelites are very, very privileged people. In verse 3, read it again, he gave people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. So notice what's going on here. God is fighting these gods, dealing with the wickedness of the earth, and he is dealing with these people, and in the same time, Moses, the man of God, is taking a stand for God. Now, I just want to read something to you, and I'm not trying to say I know the mind of God. I just know that biblically, we know that there are times when God sends these things on earth to get our attention. My sister sent a text, article in Facebook, and I thought this was pretty interesting. And it said this, in 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletics? I'll shut down your stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I'll shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I'll shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? Well, I'll make it where you can't go to church. And he quotes 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." And then he says, maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we can focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, and that's Jesus. Now, we need a vaccine, but we also need Jesus. And we need to understand that God has a way of dealing with His people. He has a way of dealing with earth. We don't know His ways. Certainly every death is precious. Every person is precious, and we certainly hate to see people die. But we understand as well that God will not be mocked. And what is God trying to say to us? That's what we ought to be asking ourselves. So we see the stubbornness of God's enemy. The second point, I'm not sure if I gave that, the power of God over His enemies. The power of God over His enemies. And then thirdly, I want us to see the man of God standing up with God, standing with God. Now, I would imagine, especially right at the very beginning when Moses was wanting to speak to Pharaoh, and when he found out that it didn't work the first time, and the children of Israel said, we're not going to back you up. I'm sure Moses probably felt like a loner. So he and Aaron, God says, I want you to go into Egypt. You know, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Look over with me in chapter 6. In chapter 6, now this is bringing us back right before the plagues. In verse 1, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, and that with a strong hand he shall drive them out of the land." In verse 2, "And God spake unto Pharaoh, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan." Verse 5. "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel." So verse 6. "Say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians." You know, and I can just see Moses saying, okay, we tried that once. That didn't work. And verse 7, "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God." And verse 8, "And I will bring you unto the land concerning which I did swear and give it to Abraham." Look at verse 9, "And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses. And the Lord," verse 10, "spake to Moses," in essence, "Well, don't worry about them. You just go to Pharaoh." But we see because Moses took a stand for the Lord. And every time you'll see that God said do this, he did it exactly the way God said to do it. And ultimately, he won the favor of those people. Now, people may not always agree with you when you live for God. But most people will respect you when you stand for God. Now, they may not understand your convictions. They may not understand your abilities to be able to stand up. I mean, may not understand why you believe what you believe. And we basically say, well, we believe the Bible. Now, friend, we are in a very peculiar day. This is one of the strangest things I've ever experienced in life as far as the national scene that's going on around us. They're telling us, what, possibly 2 million people will die from the coronavirus in the United States? 1 to 2 million, if you listen to the president last night. Now that's what they're saying. That's the projection they're giving. And it's interesting because, of course, they're hoping that the case. They're saying that maybe on a minimum, maybe 80,000. But what's fascinating about that is, you know, that people are dying and people need the Lord. And the question I would have is, what are we doing to get the gospel to people? Now, maybe you say, well, you know, we're not supposed to visit people. But, you know, you can make phone calls. Facebook is a very effective way to try to get the gospel to people. Let me encourage you, don't pass on stuff where profanity is in it. I was reading one post today that said, you know, in one post you're quoting scripture, in another post you're using curse words. And out of the same mouth proceedeth cursing and blessing. That is a contradiction. Don't do that. Be consistent in what you post. Be aware of what you post. And pray that God would help you to be like Moses, to be the man who stands with God, and to be the kind of person that, in spite of the fact that people would mock you, that you are sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what a wonderful time to be doing this, really. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. The following Sunday is Easter. And we have to recognize the fact that you know, sometimes people are open to the gospel during the Easter time. But particularly during this time, now you're going to deal with people who are hard. You're going to have people who are worshiping their gods, whether it be sports or money or whatever it may be, or their music. But the fact is that some people might be soft to respond to the gospel. May the Lord give us grace, give us strength, and may we understand that God is still in control and He wants us to do our very best. And may we be men and women like Moses, who stand with God. Now, Lord, use our time together. Speak to us. Help us to glorify You in all things, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let me remind you one more time that on Sunday morning at 9:30, we will be having our Sunday school. And if you have the book, Trusting God by Charles Bridges, make sure you're reading that next chapter, and we look forward to having you back with us. Thank you. God bless.